book that she has written. And I want to welcome Jane Isay to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you so much for calling in and joining us. This is a fascinating book. This is a, I feel like I'm, which I guess exactly what I'm doing, I'm poking into people's lives by reading this, you know, looking at their secrets. I feel very voyeuristic and I can't kind of stop looking at it. I mean, there's something very addictive about it, and partly because we all have those secrets, partly because it's slightly the human condition, some worse than others. But as you talk about in your book, these are big secrets. These are secrets of finding out you're adopted when you're 30 or 40 or 50 years old.
Yeah.
Secrets like yours, which I mentioned right before you called in, that your husband was gay, you found out. That was, of course, you know, finding out the secret and then keeping the secret for your sons, which I so understand. You know, as a parent, as a family, I so get that. But these secrets, you know, keeping these secrets, do they, when you're a secret keeper, do they do us harm?
Yeah. Well, yes, I think so. I think that, you know, life is a trade-off, Shannon.
Mm.
There's good and bad in everything. But I think I have experienced, and it, from all my conversations with the people I interviewed, there is a price that secret keepers pay because they cannot be genuine in their relationships, except perhaps if they're keeping a secret with somebody else. That's a real, that can be honest and genuine, but you have to walk away from conversations, from subjects, and you're always alert.
Uh-huh. You're always alert. What? It's kind of like a liar that you're going to get found out, that you have to be very good at this because you're going to slip up?
Yes. One of the people in my book wanted to keep her, is gay, and she wanted to keep her sexuality a secret. Well, she couldn't tell her parents what bar she was going to, right?
Mm.
I mean, once you live a life and you start covering it up, you have to be very, very discreet.
So managing a secret is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of energy.
Now, when we were talking earlier about your secret, about finding out your husband, you did keep that secret, and I know in reading the book that that actually brought you closer because you shared something, which was this secret. Does that often happen?
Oh, I think so. Mm. I think a shared secret is one of the great bonds.
Yes, I can believe that.
Of human relationships.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm a girl, so I only know the experience of girl children in school and all. I mean, if your best friend tells you a secret,
yeah,
and then you both look at what's happening, knowing what you know.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. That's a very bonding thing. That's a very, you know, it's powerful in the way that you have something that no one else has between you two.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, it's something you shared and something that you're having the other person trust you with and something you're very usually pleased to be trusted with. So you want to honor that trust and
that's
be good.
Right, but also within the adolescent girl world and maybe boy world, you know, I tell my friend that I really like Bobby, and she may tell Bobby's girlfriend that I have an eye on Bobby, and then everything goes kerplunk.
Yeah. So that's part of the problem of keeping the secret. You know, you wrote this book partly because, first off, because you're a writer, you're an editor. This is your third book. You're very good at this. You've been very successful at this. And, you know, this is what you so well do. Look at life and profile it and show us what you have seen, which, you know, I'm sure finding this out that so many people have similar secrets.
Yes.
These secrets, as we just said, are work, but can they somehow protect us or do they always harm us?
I think there is a price of protection.
Mm.
I don't think anything is free here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there are side effects of all decisions because something has happened. Something has happened that you're not proud of. We're not talking about girls sharing secrets anymore,
right,
or a surprise party. But the people that I interviewed and talked about were either the finders or the keepers of information that they thought would, that the keepers thought would harm the relationships or harm the family.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, I have great empathy for both sides here. But in the case of people who have kept their children in the dark about being adopted, you would think that is a really crazy thing to do.
In this day and age, yes. Yeah.
And by our perspective, that's pretty uncommon these days. But in the stories that I heard, when the person who got this revelation could understand the motivations of her parents, it was okay.
So understanding the motivation is partly key here. If somebody has kept a secret from you all your life and you feel devastated, which is what you talk about, that there's something like the chair being pulled out from underneath you.
Absolutely.
When you hear something that changes the whole way you have viewed life.
Yep.
When we understand it from their perspective, do we come around, or do we always feel that something has been stolen from us?
Well, you know, that is a matter of how much love there is, how much trust there was, and how bad the secret was. One of the women in my book had been told that her father had died in World War II, and when she was 36, her mother said, "I have to tell you, your father isn't as dead as I told you."
Oh, gosh.
And then it took her 10 years, but she found her father, and she had 13 magnificent years with him and his family.
Mm-hmm.
But she resented her mother for keeping the secret. But once she understood that, She hadn't been able to find him. She was pregnant before, and they were not married. And all of the things that happened to her, she could be a little mad, but she could understand her mom, and she was grateful for what a good mother and responsible mother her mother had been.
That seems to be a pattern throughout the book. There were another couple stories in there that I read where they were angry, and it's usually somehow the mother in those kind of stories that keep it.
Yeah.
You know, the father leaves, they tell him a story, oh, he left, he never cared about you, when in one story he very much cared about his daughter and kind of watched her from across the street but never approached her. So, I mean, you know, the mother kept this from her. Eventually she did forgive the mother, but it does take away such a large part of you. Have we come so much further? When you look at these stories that happened so many years ago, the people are alive now, they're finding out the secrets now, but they permeated their life because people felt they had to keep a secret. Do we still, in this society where we talk about everything, do you think we still feel we have to keep secrets?
I do. I think what we talk about when we say, well, everything is out, that's mainly about celebrities who wouldn't know us if they ran into us in the street.
Right.
You know, and that is part of a culture that loves gossip and loves secret revelations. That's another world. What happens within our homes when the front door is shut, there's still a lot of things that happen between people and happen to people that they're not proud of or they're scared of telling. One of the new worlds of secrets is the question of all these ways of impregnation.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the biological father? That's interesting. And, you know, they're keeping, at the moment, this is being kept a secret as adoption was, you know, 25 years ago. But at some point, that is going to erupt because people are going to need to know their biological history.
Yeah, and they don't.
And, you know, parents who haven't told their children that they are not their biological parents, and there are no birth parents living in Virginia, that's going to be a problem.
That is going to be a problem. I can see that. And, it, you know, of course, when you're younger and the baby comes, you don't have to tell a baby anything. You know,
exactly.
Oh, this was really easy. And then you just get very used to the lie, which is another question. Do we get so used to a lie that it just becomes? I mean, I remember in one of the stories that I read that you profiled is the mother got so used to the lie that it became the truth. And then when she changed it and reinvented history all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
Sure. I think our minds, our brains are storytellers. They're telling us what happened and what's happening and projecting what's going to happen in the future at every instant. That's where consciousness comes from. So we can tell ourselves this never really happened. The story that this mother tells her daughters is that the father is a rat and that the family never cared for them. She came to believe her own secret. Now, if you look around the world or around people you know, there are people who can convince themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what it is to be human. You convince yourself of something you've been telling yourself and saying for years. It's just the way it is.
It is the way it is, and often we do it under the guise of being a martyr. You know, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to protect them. I'm going to want to be the one that keeps the secret, when there's really no martyrdom in it. I mean, you're not helping anyone. You're actually hurting people. At what point, after your research into this, at what point, like, let's say, you know, years ago, they told you not to tell children they were adopted. That was kind of the way that it was. You just let them think they're part of the family. And then we got to a point where you told them right away. In your experience now in researching secrets, do you think everything should be told up front and it should just become part of the story as opposed to something we tell later on?
Well, I think with children, you have to be very alert to their cognitive and emotional development. And you have to be aware of how much they can take in and how much is going to go right over their heads or scare them. And, you know, there's a great literature about talking to children about the things that are difficult. And I think there are times when you do keep a secret to protect where the secret is only about you. There's a whole brand of secrets that I think should be kept. And those are the deathbed revelations. Because I think if you tell somebody a terrible secret and then right before you die, they don't have the opportunity to understand the context.
So you think that you should keep that secret. You think that you should not then tell the person that secret was about. But it could set them free, couldn't it?
Well, or it could set them into a terrible spin because they don't have the opportunity to talk about it. See, I think that the way in which you recover from a secret is by having a conversation with the person who's been keeping the secret. And in my book, you know, there's the story of the man whose grandma made a deathbed revelation, and he is still worrying about it 30 years later.
You know, that's you know, in your experience, after understanding that your husband was gay and keeping the secret from your sons, do you wish you had not kept the secret, or are you very glad the way you did it?
You know, that is a question that I can't answer. I don't know what would have happened if we had told the boys, if we had gone the other route. All I can tell you is that it kind of worked out for my sons.
Good.
It worked out very well, and it worked out for the family, even though we kept this secret. But I do know the cost of staying married for the children, of not facing the difficulties. And I also know the benefits of staying married. You know, there's a great literature and don't get divorced.
Absolutely.
And there's also, and now Judy Wallerstein's work is now being questioned. And there's a great literature in saying, do your own thing. I mean, we make our decisions based on our needs and our best predictions, and we are only human, and we're all sinners, and we're all trying to do.
We're all sinners, okay. And I guess that's true, and you're right, you do have to make it based on your situation. And as far as children are concerned, I think it's true that protecting them to some degree, I mean, our problems are not really their responsibility.
That's right.
So telling them and making it their responsibility and uncomfortable, especially when they're at an awkward adolescent age, they don't want to know this stuff. And you know what? I think that we don't have to burden them with it. So I think that these are things that your book really points out, where it's good, where it's bad. But telling the secret, getting it off your chest, I think at some point is probably a very good thing, not taking it to the grave, don't you?
I do. But I think if you have a secret to tell, see if you can tell it before you die.
Okay, fair enough. Well, this is a great book. I got to say, I could not put this down. I really suggest everyone get this because everybody has something in their family. And as I said, it's kind of this voyeuristic approach, and then it makes you think about the things in your own family. Secrets and Lives, Surviving the Truth That Change Our Lives. Jane, I say thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
It was terrific. Thank you so much. Everybody, we have to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about kids and cancer in a new novel. So stay where you are. And we'll be back on WTBQ in just a few.